Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and who maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome Susan G., a compulsive overeater from Tennessee.
Hello, good evening. Sorry for the technology there. Pause. So yeah, I'm Susan. It's nice to be here with you. I am so grateful to have been asked to share our story, because it is not just my story, it's God's story. It's higher power's story. I don't have a problem saying God, but I just want you to know that it's higher power, or whatever you choose to call your higher power. You can insert that if and when I use God or higher power, however that works for you. I want you to just kind of get comfortable and relax there with that, if you can. So I've been in OA for 20 years. And I came in July of 2005, and I was weighing over 300 pounds. The doctors were telling me I would be dead in 5 years if I didn't change. My life was unmanageable, to the point my marriage was difficult. My two children, my relationship with them was not going well. I was hanging on with my career by a thread, and I seemed to really make everybody angry around me. I was really good at it. I probably had a PhD in that, quite honestly. I could be in a group of people and be incredibly lonely and just didn't fit in. I wasn't comfortable in my own skin, and I had a lot of skin. At one point, I was taking 5 shots of insulin a day and manipulating that like heroin so that I could compulsively overeat, I don't know, 2 large pizzas on a 20-minute drive home from work, and then come home and cook a meal for my family, have leftovers, and eat that late at night. So I was definitely a stone-cold food junkie and a binge eater, just to qualify for you kind of what it was like. I'll just say this too, that in the darkest hour, I don't want to give you like a drunkalogue, but I was having a heart attack a few years. This was after I came to OA and had relapsed. And I was at the doctor's office and laying on the table, and he said to me, "Susan," he said, "if you want to die, just lay here and I'll keep you comfortable. But if you want to live, we need to get to the hospital right now." And I actually paused, because I wasn't sure which alternative, you know, I wanted to take there. But I told him I'd meet him up at the hospital. He said, "No, we need an ambulance." And I said, "No, I'll meet you there." And I proceeded to get up, get dressed, go to a drive-thru and order a huge meal, and consume that within a literally five minute period from that place to up the hill to the hospital and walk in the emergency room. Fortunately, they were able not that I didn't have to go through surgery, and they got me all settled in and taken care of. But that's the insanity. I am so powerless over food and life unmanageable. And I'm so grateful for this program. I tried everything I knew to try. My mother worked for Weight Watchers, which is a paying way. So I just couldn't get it done by myself. That's why I say I'm going to share with you our story. My story, your story, probably, and God's story, because I can't do it by myself. And today the miracle is that I want to. I really don't. I had to learn how to trust God. I grew up with some religious background, and quite a bit actually, but for some reason I didn't have relationship with a power greater than me around food. And it was the steps. It's these steps that make it different. That's why I keep coming back. Because I needed to learn a surgical skill set whereby I could deal with my emotions. I could learn who I was, learn who I am, and who I'm not. And the number one thing is that I'm not God. I know in the big book it says, God is either everything or nothing. What was our choice to be? And it took me years coming back in program. I took the step several times. I've relapsed a couple of times. And I'm so happy to say that it's a design for living, and I want to keep living, so I'm keep coming back to the work of the steps, and so grateful for that. Every time I've gone through and done a fourth step, more has been revealed. So if you're one of those who's relapsed in program, it's okay. Good for you, good for us, because guess what? We're not meant to graduate and arrive with our diploma and head on out the door. We keep coming back to it. We keep coming back to our higher power, to ourselves, to others, to this program, and our design for living keeps growing and changing alongside us. Well, I will just say that I have a twofold illness. If you're really new, that might be a new phraseology for you. We have an or I have a physical allergy, an allergy of the body, and an obsession of the mind. And so I require a twofold surrender. And that surrender is first the food. I had to admit that there are certain food ingredients that when I take even one bite of, I can't stop. I just keep going. And there are also some food behaviors that I do that trigger me to want to eat those ingredients. I'm a junk food junkie. Those are the big one. That's the big one, So that's what I go to. So I refrain, I abstain from eating that. And as a result, I don't think about eating it. There's not like a rumbling in my physical nature to eat those things. But the other thing I have is this obsession of the mind. And the surrender for that is the harder surrender because it's my selfishness. It's my self-centeredness that and self-seeking that wants things my way. I don't like to be uncomfortable. And I had to find a way how to deal with that. Otherwise, I'm going to go back to the food. And that's where there is a solution. I love the name of your group here. And I just wanted to read just a quick little thing out of the big book on page 25. And there is a solution. And it says, if you are seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there is no middle of the road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible, and if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, and the other, to accept spiritual help. This we did because we honestly wanted to and were willing to make the effort. I just love that paragraph because I'll tell you that, today I live, I like to say, I live an alternative lifestyle. And that lifestyle of alternative is that, God is everything and I'm not God. And so, with that humility, I know who I am and who I'm not. I accept spiritual help. And it certainly has been through the steps. I think that I like things done immediately. I don't know about you. I like instant solution, instant gratification, and I'm really learning through the steps, through the big book literature, and the meetings that I attend. I attend a meeting every day. I have quiet time, planned quiet time twice a day, sometimes three. Certainly, I work with a dietitian and I have a plan of eating, of how I eat, kind of when I eat, and what I eat. I have exercise as part of my daily routine. I make outreach calls and I receive outreach calls. I sponsor. And when I first heard about all these things that people do, and my sponsor told me this is what you do. If you want what I have, you're going to do what I do. I thought, my God, are you kidding me? I don't have time to do that and live life. I've got a husband, I've got two children, I've got, job. What are you talking about? I can't do all that. And I had no idea how it was going to come together. But I was really desperate. I really wanted what you had. I wanted peace. I wanted peace within my own skin, within myself. I wanted peace with other people and not always be combative. And I wanted and needed peace, I think, with God, with my higher power. So step two for me really was about, I had to set aside the old prejudices that I had of who I thought God was. I had been taught who God was. My family had a notion of who God is and was. Other people, schools, I went to private schools, religious schools, so I was taught certain things there. So I had a lot of knowledge, head knowledge kind of God, and even have had wonderful experiences, I felt like spiritual experiences with God growing up and even into adulthood. But when after my last relapse, it was after I had kidney cancer. I shouldn't even be on the planet, quite frankly, but here I be. When I returned and asked a woman to take me through, she, when we got to that part in the big book with step two, she said, Susan, she said, obviously, whatever notion you have of a higher power of God hasn't really worked for this food thing, because you've relapsed, or you haven't been able to, you may have lost some weight, girl, but there's more to it than that. And, so she said, can you set it aside and grow it up maybe? And I thought, I don't know if I can do that or not. So I decided I was going to do that. And I just set aside everything I think I knew about recovery, God, this program, my own addiction. And I started, where I started was my breath. When I woke up the next morning and took that first big gulp of air, whew, I can't do that for myself. Can you? I can't give myself the consciousness and the breath of this morning and every morning. And so I said, thank you. Thank you for this breath. And then became the litany. Okay, I can't get through a day abstinently without some kind of help. Will you help me? And then on from there, when my husband did something to annoy me, or wanted a need, had a need that I couldn't quite meet, God, I turned and I said, thank you for this wonderful husband. I want to be a better wife. I need help learning how to do that. And call fellows, talk with other fellows, read what it says in our big book, and there's outside resources that help us as well. So I'm so grateful that, so I began to build this real working relationship with power, Because in the big book, it says, may you find him now. May we find God now. My thing, the way I read that was, may you find him. I'm going to find him, but I'm going to seek him later. It doesn't, it says, may you find him now. It doesn't say seek him later. And I am the queen, essential queen of dismissiveness. Oh my gosh, I've got so much fear, right? Oh, I'll deal with that tonight when I have time. Or I'll deal with that later when I can get a break. It does not say seek him later. It says find him now, right now in the moment. And sometimes all it takes, it's enough to turn to my higher power to be heard and to be relieved. But oftentimes it requires a little bit more, and we're given these wonderful instructions of what to do. So once I started developing this working relationship with power, then I was asked, step three, to turn my will and my life over to the care of that power. Not because to make me feel better. It really, I think, is to say, this works, folks. It really does. It does work. And I commenced to taking an inventory, 4 through 9, our steps 4 through 9. And I met that differently this last time around. I was able to do the to look at who I was resentful at, and fears, and my sex conduct, and see what it affected, and really prayed for others, everyone involved. And then when it got to that fourth column of looking at it, I used to say, I got to look at my part, right? And my sponsor's like, what? She goes, my part is kind of OA language. But she says, if you look at the big book, it says we're ready to look at it, things from a different angle. And I'm like, oh, you mean like a drone? I can suspend up like a drone and maybe look at the whole situation there and not be in this frame of mind of kind of blame and shame. And I thought, oh, a different angle. And then all of a sudden it's like, where can I do better? Where could I have been better in these situations? And all of a sudden, I don't know, something cracked open for me in that. Just looking at it. And I moved through, and then I get to fast forward to our 8 and 9. I have two daughters. I'm their stepmother, but I'm really their mother. I've been with them since they were about 3 and a half. One of my daughters, we hadn't spoken for over a decade, no contact whatsoever. I did this work and I discovered I stopped showing up as a loving, supportive mother because she didn't respond to me. I didn't get what I needed, right? So I just, I ghosted her, as we like to say the lingo is. And so, with the help of my sponsor who helped me, I dropped her a note in the mail and said, I owe you deep amends. And I would like to restore and renew and proceed with a relationship if you would like to. And if you don't, that's okay too. I'm going to check in on you every once in a while because I love you. And I think you're the most wonderful person. Today, nobody in my life has to change for Susan G to be happy today. If Susan's not happy, it's because I'm choosing not to be happy. And that doesn't mean I don't have difficult things to go through. I certainly do. So about 6 months later, I hadn't heard from anything, but every month I send her a card, a care package, something to say, I love you and you're on my mind. And we finally met, and I looked at her. We were both, of course, very nervous. And I said, thank you for waiting on me to get well. It took a while, and I said, but I want you to know if there's anything, I didn't want to dredge up the past to hurt her, but I said, if there's anything that comes up in your mind of something I did or said growing up and it causes you pain, please reach out to me because I never ever wanted that to be, and I don't want you to suffer any more from the past, and nor do I. And that amends, I had tried to make amends to her before, but it was messy. This was so tidy, you know? It was, I mean, she's never showed up again on any fourth step or any resent. I've never had an ounce of resentment to her ever again because she doesn't have to change. She is the daughter I love and support. And what a miracle. I could never have affected that through therapy, through my own, through anything. This is the power of connection with my higher power that comes from working the steps and to keep at it. And then of course 10, 11, and 12 is how do I, maintain this on a daily basis? And I think I shared that with you, a lot of the things I do, but it's very organic. I'm able to, at first, when I was going through and doing what my sponsor told me to do with outreach and with meetings and of course going through the steps and all, it was kind of it was difficult. You know, it felt like a burden. It felt like a work, a lot of work. And now, can I tell you, I do the same thing I did back then from day one. I do the very same things, but it's kind of weaved itself into a tapestry of just the good living that I do. And everyone in my life loves that I'm in recovery, whether they know it or not, because they like the new Susan. Because today, Susan, I have reverence for myself. And if I have, and for you, and for hopefully every living thing, and if I revere something, it means I am going to slow down and look again. And it removes judgment. I've been able to, for the most part, cast aside outcomes. I mean, I still want those, but that's when I say, oh, well, I think I'll call, Jessica C, or I'll call whoever here I want to call and say, I'm being selfish and I'm afraid. And let me, can I tell you what's going on? And then I work the step that we're taught, step 10 and 11 with the quiet time and seeking God's will and the power to carry it out, the strength to carry it out. And then with good guidance, I'm able to take action and I get out of my head and into my heart. And I don't know about you, but the distance between head and heart is a very long 12-inch journey sometimes. And but I'm so grateful that I have this way of living. And I think for me, being useful, once I began to trust this power. And then do this kind of house cleaning, right? And see what I need to keep because there's lots of qualities about me and assets that are great and wonderful and creative. And I try to nourish those. And then the other defects, I surrender and ask my higher power to remove them and give me opportunities to partner for those to be removed. So if I'm praying for patience, I'm not a patient person. When I'm praying for patience, guess what comes? Situations for me to be patient. So it is, it's the day. So I have weak muscles. I have weak patience muscle or weak tolerance muscles until they become stronger through daily practice. So now when a difficult situation comes, I don't begrudge that. I pause. I take reverence and I say, oh, well, what is it? What is it here that I need? I'm going to change. What a gift it is to change. How can I change? How can I be better? How can I handle this differently rather than being the old version of Susan that says, let me get angry at you. Let me blame you. Let me get retribution and make you feel so terrible. And then meanwhile, I'm going to go over here and eat. My brain's out practically to feel good. And then in the whole end, nobody feels good, right? Everything's a mess. So I think just knowing that these steps are those wonderful surgical skills that have helped me know what to do with my feelings and what to do when life happens as it's happening, you know, in real time, in real time. And of course, the crown jewel of steps 1 through 11 is 12. The first time I went through the steps, I got through, and when I got to 12, and you know, my sponsor says, "Okay, now you're ready. It's time for you to sponsor." And I thought, "Hell no. What? I don't want to do that. I'll do everything but that." And guess what happened? I didn't make it. You know, I had a relapse. And when I went back through and got to step 12, I sponsor up. No questions asked. And now it's the
That's
crown.
5 minutes left, Susan.
Oh, thanks, Anne, for your service tonight. I appreciate that sweet voice. And you know, I'm just so very grateful. The crown jewel 12, step 12 says, you know, we get to carry this message, right? And I'm actually, let me look at here for a second. I want to just. I just want to read it. Step 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Well, now that's just a marvelous design for living for me today, step 12. And I continue to pray to be awakened. I have lots of spiritual, this is a spiritual experience to be with you. Listening to my dog snore over across the room is a spiritual experience. Seeing the sunrise is a spiritual experience. A spiritual awakening means if I'm going to drive a car, I've got to be awake. If I'm going to be useful today and proactive, I've got to be awake. So I really focus on awake, and surrender helps me be awake to what God would have me be and do, not necessarily what I would like to be. Sometimes it's the one and the same, and that's awesome. But if it's not, then I have to kind of rearrange things. And then the second part of step 12, you know, we tried to carry this message. Well, how do I do that? Is that, my story's my story. Whenever I show up to share, I'm always like, I'm the first person to say, "Oh, I can't wait what Susan's going to say tonight." Because I mean, my story's my story. It doesn't change. You know, it just is what it is. But God just chooses. I let God choose what comes out and what, because that's I do God's work. I don't do God's job, you know. And then finally, to practice these principles in all our affairs. And this is just marvelous. So, in the smallest things and in the larger things, the principles, you know, of love, of hope, perseverance, faith, humility. My favorite principle is humility. Because I need it so desperately. And I guess love and humility. And today I walk in peace. If something tries to disturb the peace, I stop, drop, and roll. Because that's what I want. I want to live in peace today, and that's my gift to you. Peace is my gift to you. Peace is the gift I've been given through this program. And I think, let me just look down and see if there was anything I had written here that well, thank you. Thank you for listening to me, and thank you for giving me an avenue to carry the message tonight. And I think that's all I have, and I think I'll just pass with that. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Susan G.